We're reading from the writings of Rabash, volume 2. If you have the Hebrew book, we'll be reading from an article called What Is All Nations Shall Play Praise the Creator in the Work. You can ask questions on cob.tv. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson. So, again, we'll be reading from the writings of Rabash. The article's title is What Is All Nations Shall Praise the Creator in the Work. Regarding the above, it turns out that by way of the work, we need to interpret what the Holy Zohar says, that all nations have ministers over them, and only for the creator, for the nation of Israel, the Creator rules over them. Because the nation of Israel is the Creator's possession. Since nations of the world are receivers for themselves, as the Zohar says, all mercy that they do, all benefit that they give is for themselves, which means that everything they do is for self-benefit. And this is called the 70 ministers, or the 70 rulers. And meaning that every nation has a specific lust, and that is in general called the evil inclination, since it creates separation of man from the Creator. And this is called the nations of the world are governed by the ministers, meaning that they don't feel there is a Creator that leads the world, whereas Israel, which means Yeshael, straight to the Creator, they feel they are in the territory of the Creator. And this is because all their deeds is for the Creator and not for self-benefit. This is called that the nation of Israel was taken by the Creator for His share, and there is no other minister governing them, meaning that whoever is considered Israel means that he is only ruled by the Creator and no other force. Israel, meaning a person who discovers that there is no other force in the world but one, and despite that force manifesting in many different ways, it is fundamentally good that does good. Rather, it relates to the human in different ways in order to develop man to get to know and understand that force. Again, Israel means a person that, despite everything happening to him, on top of that, he discovers it's all coming from one source. And all the various influences coming from that one source they arrive to him in order to develop him so that he understands and feels and thus adheres to the actions, thoughts, and plans of that one single force. Discovering none else besides him is what's called the aspect of Israel, or towards the Creator, straight to the Creator. Meaning one who looks through all the situations that he's going through, all the circumstances in himself and his environment, which is the entire reality that divides into the person and what's outside the person, so that it's all orchestrated by one force. Neither my thoughts nor thoughts of others or our actions or anything that is happening in reality in general, there's nothing here which is coincidental. And although it seems that all these occurrences happen in very different ways, they all arrive from one source, and there's none else besides him. As it says, me and not a messenger, even Pharaoh, whoever it is, the biggest enemies, the greatest friends. They all appear before me as a result of one source, so that I discover this one force that works on me, and so that I unify it. And in everything happening to me, I'll discover that force only. That's called coming to adhesion with Him. And that's basically our entire work. So, the group, accordingly, should be organized so as to direct the person only towards that, so that one tries, with all the thoughts and desires awakening in him, to first discover that they arrive from one source. And what they wish to do to him is no more than one action, which is to confuse him, to deflect him from the right path, which of discovering that one source, so that the human becomes more skillful and knowledgeable. Just like that letter by Baal Sulam about the king who must orchestrate the war for the servant against the robber and all kinds of other disturbances, the thief, and by that one learns how to become like the king. So that's where we are. So our role is to learn above all the incidents in life. And if we want to accelerate that learning, then on top of all the incidents we go through in the group, what happens to us in life, what happens to us in life is what we learn on the levels of still vegetative inanimate. What happens to us in the group is on a higher level, the speaking level, and that's why we accelerate times. So if we try to learn in that way, in the group, instead of the incidents we go through in life, learning about the quality of the bestowing force that sustains and drives everything, then we accelerate times. So let's continue. There's a suggestion here to continue the article from the very beginning, so we'll actually take it from the top, what we haven't read. So right from below the title, the writing says, "All nations shall praise the Lord, for His mercy has overpowered us, and the truth of the Creator is forever and for all eternity." We should understand, why should all nations praise the Creator, since it is written, "For His mercy overpowered us"? Seemingly, because he gave mercy to the people of Israel, the nations should be upset about the Creator. For the verse says, "All nations shall praise Him because His mercy overpowered us." Could it be? We should interpret it by way of the work, that we're talking about one person, because every person is a small world, as the Zohar writes. Meaning, there is the aspect of nations of the world within the person, and there is the aspect of Israel within the person. And the Israeli in the person is in exile under the rulership of the nations of the world. This means that Israel is the aspect of straight to the Creator, meaning one wants his actions to be directed straight at the Creator, meaning that everything will be for the benefit of the Creator. However, the nations of the world, all their thoughts are for self-benefit. It's known that every nation has its own lust, meaning that there are 70 desires within the person. This is something that stems from Zeranpin and Malchut. There are seven sefirot with Zeranpin and Malchut and times 10. This is called all the nations, the different nations. And every nation is like an entire complete system that has an inclination towards itself. And by all those different inclinations, it creates scrutinies. So it turns out that the person is torn to pieces due to all these different desires. And so what he needs to do is first, in his rosh, in his head, direct everything towards the Creator. That is called putting Israel on the top, and then putting all nations of the world below that as the guf, the body. And that means then that the entire soul is directed towards adhesion with the source of light. The words that we are familiar with in this world, like Israel and nations and all of that, they're very confusing. What can we do? This is how Kabbalists wrote it in order to give us great work to do, because specifically by these scrutinies we penetrate to the depth of the matter. And if we would just hear it in an external way, like say in Talmud Esra Sefirot, or if we wouldn't understand what's happening, we wouldn't have to go through these sharp scrutinies and this clarity, and reach that clarity of thought and depth of matter and find that root. So as upsetting as it is to hear words of this world and make the great effort of translating it to the inner actions within each and every person, we must agree that even if we don't understand this, this is really to our benefit, the fact that it's written that way. It is known that each and every nation has its own lust. And they rule over Israel within the person, and they don't allow the Israel part to do what it needs to do. But each and every time, every nation rules with its lust over the person to make him do as that nation wishes. And that is called the nation of Israel in exile. However, we should know that whatever a person can receive in the vessels of reception is no more than a thin light with regards to the light of the pleasure that is clothed in spirituality that is accepted in vessels of bestowal. And yet, our sages say, a person dies with half his lust in his hand, meaning there is no person in the world that can say that he is the person, the happiest person on earth, as the rule that says one who has 100 wants 200. Therefore, there is no person in the world that has complete rest with no worries, and who is tranquil in the world. But each and every one has a deficiency. As it is written, envy, lust, and honor take the person out of the world. It turns out that at the end of the day, every person is suffering, trying to fulfill his deficiencies. However, when a person merits vessels of bestowal from the Creator, in these vessels a person receives the good and delight that the Creator has prepared for the created beings. And then the person lives in a world filled with goodness. As our sages said, Rabbi Meir says, all who engage in Torah Lishma merit many things, and the whole world is worthy for them. That means that Lishma means that he has corrected, unified his vessels, his perception, in such a way that he already sees, discovers that everything is coming from one source. Then his entire work is not the confusions, thinking that the world is composed of many thousands of different influences and sources, and that influence him. Instead, he discovers the world as some template through which the upper force influences him with various influences in order to develop him, so that he absorbs these influences as they are on the one hand, yet on the other hand try with great effort to relate all of them to one source. So then, all those various different manners of influence, when he discovers them to be from one source, he will design himself like that source. I would perhaps draw it like a, you know, let's say there's a magnifying glass here, and there is a source here called the Creator, sending all these different influences through that glass, and a person who is on the receiving end of these influences is also trying to unify all of them to one source. So the person is here, and by this, the person becomes literally similar to the Creator. So this is how it happens, by the multitude, the multiplicity of these influences and actions. So although there are many different ways and manners in different aspects, he collects all of them to be coming from one source. That is, he sees the benefit for him in the world. And this is, as it is written, that when a person receives everything in the vessels of bestowal, which is the aspect of equivalence of form, that's called adhesion, dvekut, and it's called lishma. Then the person receives the goodness and pleasure that exists in the thought of creation, which is referred to as the desire to benefit his created beings. And this is what's clarified in the article Giving of the Torah, Matan Torah. As it says, our sages told us that the world was created only for carrying out Torah and Mitzvot, which means that the intention of the Creator for the creation, from the moment it was created, is to inform the godliness to the created beings, because that happens to the created being with the quality of the pleasant abundance that multiplies to the desired extent by which the lowly ones rise above towards true recognition until they become come to adhesion with the Creator and achieve wholeness. With regards to the above, when a person merits vessels of bestowal, he merits the goodness and pleasure in the thought of creation. And that is called when the Creator completes the paths of the person, his enemies shall be completed with him as well. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi interprets, this is the serpent. The serpent is the matter of the evil inclination, which is assigned over the 70 nations of the world, the aspect of the nations of the world that exist in the body of the person, are preventing the person from meriting the goodness and pleasure. Therefore, it turns out that when a person receives goodness and pleasure, the vessels of reception are mitigated as well. And by that, he uses the vessels of reception in order to bestow. If so, they also receive the goodness and pleasure. That is called when the Creator completes the paths of the person. And in that time, he only engages for the benefit of the Creator. That is called to engage in Lishma. And then he merits many things, as Rabbi Meir said. Therefore, the nations of the world within the body of the person should also praise the Creator because they now receive goodness and pleasure by the vessels of bestowal that the person has been awarded with. That is called the vessels of chesed, mercy. And therefore, it is said, all nations shall praise the Creator. Why should they praise the Creator? Because His mercy overpowered us. Meaning that the vessels of mercy overpower the vessels of reception. And who gave that power for the mercy to overcome? Only the Creator gave that. As our sages said, man's inclination overpowers him every day, and if the Creator will not help, he won't be able to resist. It turns out that the nations should praise the Creator as well for His mercy that overpowered us, that we have been awarded with the mercy of the Creator, and by that we now see the truth of the Creator. The Creator is real, meaning that it is true now that the Creator guides the entire world by way of good that does good, for now it appears to the entire nations, to all nations. It turns out the enemies of the person, which is the evil inclination, who is called hater, as it is written, if your enemy is hungry, feed him with bread, which means the evil inclination, as our sages said, that King Solomon would call the evil inclination hater, and he shall appease him. And this is called, you shall love your Lord with all thy heart, with both your inclinations, meaning the good inclination and the bad inclination. Because when the vessels of reception of the individual have attained the force to be receiving in order to bestow, it turns out that then he works for the Creator with the evil inclination as well, meaning that the evil inclination loves the Creator as well, therefore it also receives goodness and pleasure. And it is written, and the Creator is truth, meaning as he interprets in Tess about the seventh correction of the 13th corrections of Dikna, it is called truth. And this is because in that correction, it is revealed to all that it is truth, that this was the purpose of creation to benefit the created beings. With regards to the above, in the way of the work, we should interpret what the Zohar says, that all nations have a minister appointed over them, whereas the nation of Israel are only ruled by the Creator, for the people of Israel are the property of the Creator, meaning that the nations of the world are in the aspect of receivers for themselves. As the Zohar says, whatever mercy they do is for their own benefit, which means that whatever they do is for self-benefit. And that is called the 70 ministers, meaning the 70 rulers, that every nation has a specific lust, and that is generally called the evil inclination, since it causes the person to be separated from the Creator. And this is called the nations of the world are ruled by the ministers, meaning they don't feel there's a Creator that leads the world. However, the aspect of Israel, which means directly to the Creator, they feel they are in the territory of the Creator. And this is because all their deeds are for the Creator, not for self-benefit. And this is called the people of Israel have taken the Creator for their own property. And there is no minister governing them, which means that anyone who enters the aspect of Israel says that only the Creator rules over him and no other force whatsoever, meaning that all the ups and downs, the Creator is the operator of everything. And this is like we say, the Creator is the Lord of all deeds, meaning that all deeds that a person does, the Creator is the operator. As my father, Baruch Sulam, said, that before the doing, one should say that everything depends on the person. As our sages said, if I'm not for myself, then who? So it turns out everything is done by the man. And after the doing, one should say it's all done by the Creator because He is the master of all deeds. Questions? Yes, Niv. Maxim from Germany says, in the last diagram, why are there many different influences from the Creator? We learn that it's one unchanging force. Wait. The source is constant, unchanging. But the multiplicity, this is like Baruch Sulam says, that the father shows his child the happy face or sad face or angry face, and by that the kid is influenced, being happy, being sad, being afraid, and so on. But he learns there are different expressions of his father, although everything is coming from the father through unconditional love, from complete love. Otherwise, we wouldn't understand anything, because in order to bring us from the degree of existence from absence and develop within us a system that is like the Creator, and we don't understand what it means to be like the Creator. We don't understand this notion. So in order to develop us to that, He requires different actions. And what does He get by all those different actions? That this existence from absence begins to take on everything that exists in the existence from existence, that is, in the light, the Creator. So eventually, the matter, which is existence from absence, its understanding and acknowledgement and attainment will be as what exists in the existence from existence, the Creator. So we have to go through all those many different actions. There's no other choice. Because the goal of the Creator is to bring the human meaning the general will to receive that was created, to bring it to correction. So, in that matter that needs to come to correction, there are different parts that evolve first and evolve later. Those that evolve first are called Israel. Those who don't yet discover the desired manner of development are called nations of the world. And this is something that exists within every person and also within the whole of humanity. And that's how we explain it. Tomo from Jerusalem and Timo from Istanbul are asking this. In the article it says every nation has a specific lust, and it's generally called evil inclination. This multiplicity of actions can be divided, firstly, to 70 different ways. Although they divide into more and more pieces. We're not talking about... There's no coincidence. Of course, what Timur has, meaning what you find in the Turkish people, doesn't exist in the English people or in the American people, and so on. Meaning everyone is different in their absorption, in their perception, in different things. Yet, it's only enriching. Just imagine that all of this would exist within the person, and the person would have to be comprised of many different aspects like this. Just think if every person would have to scrutinize all of the different aspects that exist in the different nations. How, you know, the perception of reality of an Englishman is so very different from someone who is in Polynesia or some other place. All those different manners, where does it come from? From the shattering of the vessels. Because they were scattered, dispersed in that manner, it actually eases the correction process. One big lump can't transform from existence to how it needs to be like existence from existence. It's impossible. It can't happen. By the shattering, and also besides that, there's integration of the vessels of bestowal with the vessels of reception. So there's a reciprocal work here. And there's also the division of times, the division of items, which means all the different people of humanity, and everyone going through different 70 years of life, scrutinizing different things, and yet everyone is integrated together. So it's one very complex, intricate system. And there's no coincidence in that system. We're all interdependent, like just like ants in that, how do you call it? Well, an animal's nest. An ant's nest. And this interdependence is now beginning to show as a crisis. And it's not really a crisis. It's actually the appearance of the true system where the entire world, including all people, are living in. So we actually don't want to be organized in that way, but nature is showing us that everything is designed as one single system. And we're all interdependent and connected in that system. There's no other work for us to do, but only the way that system appears to us through the multiplicity of actions. We just have to discover through that that there's none else besides Him. And it's very simple. If we come to the correct implementation of the work, there's nothing else you need to do but attributing, relating everything to one source. So, the rest of the question was, usually the evil inclination goes against the connection. So what does it mean here in the article when it says lust? It says, lusts are generally called evil inclination. And we say that evil inclination is only what goes against the connection. So what does lust here mean? Lust means to fulfill the will to receive the way it wants, without connection to the source, to the goal for which the will to receive was created, and why it now receives that fulfillment. So, receiving the fulfillment in the will to receive without taking into account the goal of this entire status is called enjoying a lust. Could be something very simple, some little thing, it doesn't matter. I crave a pleasure. So what's the difference if I use it correctly or incorrectly? If I look at the pleasure itself rather than how can I use it to reach contact with the source of the pleasure? And that's the difference between lust and the correct use of it. But this requires the person to be strong enough to make a restriction over the pleasure and make a calculation of how much he manages the pleasure, the receiving of the pleasure, so that it connects him with the source of the pleasure, and only work in that way. Yes. Rav, we read that man's evil inclination overpowers him each day, and if the Creator doesn't help him, he can't resist. Yeah. So it awakens two questions in me. This means the evil inclination increases, and I use it. It's all good. Everything's fine. If I want to use a certain desire or all my desires in order to start attaining the root, the source, the Creator, I have nothing else to work with, first of all, my desires. That's the whole of creation. Besides desires, nothing was created. So I have to see how I work with it in order to discover the Creator, to come to Him, to rise to His degree, egoistically. That's first. So I have nothing in my hands but my desires. All the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom of Kabbalah because of that, because it teaches you how to work with your vessels of reception and not to remain as a beast just wanting to gorge and to fill up your desire, and that's it. So you're taught how to do that, and it's really not such a simple thing. How to work with the vessels of reception. You have to build an environment, you have to do all kinds of actions in order to be in control of your will to receive and begin to work with it. When you're in control. So, you will never be able to rule the will to receive. You discover that you can't rise above it whatsoever. Who are you? You're just this little spark that tells you that you don't want to identify with the will to receive. And that's it. But you can receive the method of how to draw a special force, and that force will rule over your will to receive. So it's like you go outside, and you, on the one hand, you separate yourself from the will to receive. On the other hand, you have the light, the Creator, and now you're in this state where you determine the battle between them. That's called come to Pharaoh. The Creator says, come to Pharaoh, I burden his heart, and now see how I wage war with him. But how does the war go? It goes according to what Moses determines. This is basically the situation. And what does it give me? If I'm in a state where I see that here is this entire monster called Pharaoh, and here is what's called none else besides him, the Creator, and I'm in between, I see what's going on between them. These blows of Pharaoh, the blows over Pharaoh and the response of him. So I learned from this, and this entire system becomes mine. I learn the gap. I learned the gap between the Creator and the creature. And that gap that I learn, and it exists within me, these two systems are what's called the middle line within me, and that is basically the human, Adam. This is what's happening to us. What does it mean, overpowers every day? What's a day? What does it mean? Every time a person feels that he goes through changes in his ego, that is called the Creator awakening him to a new scrutiny, a new revelation. And what is how the Creator helps him? What the Creator doesn't help him. He helps him by giving him the will to receive in greater confusions. Now, if the person requests, if he awakens to call the Creator's help, then he sees the Creator helps. On the one hand. On the other hand, he also needs to understand that even before, when the will to receive awakened, that's also the help of the Creator, and it's all coming from one source. Yes, go ahead.
He says that in many articles, it says that envy, lust, and honor take the person out of the world, and
we're living here in this world. Envy does horrible things to the people. It ruins everything. Yes, so? What can I do to find the strength to cope with this desire in this world? We aren't fighting any qualities we have in this world. We rise above all these qualities to correct connection with the friends and with the Creator. I'm not trying to fight Pharaoh. I'm inviting the Creator to fight Pharaoh. That's exactly what I wanted to show here in this diagram. And it's not that I am trying to fight each and every quality within me. That's a lost battle. This is what people normally do, and nothing comes out of it. Only by integrating with the group, rising above my ego, wanting to come to love towards them, and whatever exists in me, I don't mind, I don't care, it will later fall into place. The upper light fixes me, and I have nothing to do by myself. So don't be sorry for that, the evil you have, and don't try to correct it. The Creator shall do everything for me. And let's move on to the next part.